Gator out today, getting some suggestions here. Scott writes in, you should call it the 120 seconds left in the first half clock stoppage for more TV revenue. Timeout. On NCAA 25, they call it the two-minute warning. That's from an unnamed texter. Calling it the two-minute timeout makes it sound like it's 2 minutes long. Is 2 minutes long? Is that true?
That's true. It kind of sounds like that.
Yeah. Let me go back to the rule, because it kind of depends on everybody has a broadcast partner, so I guess that's a moot point. It sounds like it's a one-minute break, but they're calling it the two-minute timeout. One moment, please, while I bring up the rule changes in front of me. When the game clock is running and the ball's not live, referee shall stop the clock with exactly 2 minutes remaining in the second and fourth quarters for the two-minute timeout. If the ball is live, game clock reaches 2 minutes in the second and fourth quarters, the play will continue and the referee shall stop the clock when the ball is subsequently declared dead for the two-minute timeout. The radio and TV broadcast partner will hold back at least one media timeout to coincide with the two-minute timeout. If there are no media timeout partner in the game, the timeout shall be 1 minute plus 5 seconds and a referee notification and the 25-second play clock interval. So it says, if there is no media timeout partner in the game, the timeout shall be 1 minute and 5 seconds. This change will synchronize all in-game timing rule changes to be effective following the two-minute timeout, including the first down timing rules, runs, fumbles, backward pass, out of bounds. So I don't think it's clear. I think every game has a media partner. So how long is this break? Our engineer, Tony Butler, Tony, text me if you know the answer to this, because it says you hold back one media timeout. Is that basically one regular commercial break, or is there a specific length to something that's called a media timeout? Don't know. Do not know. Well, anyway, I suspect it's going to be a regular timeout. Even in the NFL, announcers say you get an extra timeout at the two-minute warning. The new NCAA 25 video game, they are calling it the two-minute warning. Stay with the warning, Doug. NFL has the licensing on the verbiage for two-minute warning. Oh, is that what it is?
Well, if they do, then why are they using it in the NCAA game?
I don't know.
Two-minute warning. I haven't played, so let us know, people.
Yeah. Jordan in Jersey says, I don't think it's really degenerate. It's pretty much taking over Michigan team total bet and the under Ohio State team total. Essentially, it's one bet instead of two. You're betting over on Michigan and under on Ohio State? I guess you could be, because they do have point totals for individual teams. Kang, I love this idea. Is it on a betting site? That's from Jeff. Okay, I'll tell you, this is odd. We saw the story that FanDuel had it. I logged on to FanDuel this morning, and they'll give you the regular point spreads, and then you go to more NCAA football, and there it was, mythical matchups. We get on the air, and honestly, it's gone.
It's gone now?
It's gone on the FanDuel app.
You had it.
I know. I'm going to scroll around here a little bit. So I went to a website and found the mythical matchups, but now I'm not seeing it on FanDuel, which is really weird. But it was there earlier today. I'm having app problems. Yesterday I couldn't figure out how to order a pumpkin spice latte. Don't judge me. From Starbucks, and now today, disappeared. But apparently it's out there. It's supposedly on FanDuel, Jeff, if you want to check it out. Okay, let's get to some Lion stuff. Yesterday's big day, cut down day. This is our team for now. This is a constant revolving door at the bottom of the roster of players that will be in the lineup and then out of the lineup. Players get hurt, practice squad guys get called up and activated. But the roster is now set with that accepted fluidity at the bottom four or five spots. So quarterback. Wasn't a huge surprise, but it was a bit of a surprise yesterday when they cut Nate Sudfeld. They're exposing, they might be exposing a player that in their minds is their number two quarterback for now, but they're exposing him to get picked up by somebody else because they want to practice squad him. They knew they could save a roster spot by practice squatting Sudfeld. They knew if they put Hendon Hooker on waivers, he'd get absolutely claimed. So this could just be a little bit of sleight of hand to try and open up a roster spot. Still, if they put Sudfeld on the practice squad, that means Hendon Hooker likely on most Sundays will be the backup quarterback. And if Jared Goff takes an injury, then Hendon Hooker is going to have to finish the game. If it's a long-term injury that he suffers, and they might activate Sudfeld, they would activate Sudfeld, and then it might be a true battle for who gets the start on Sunday. Or they could just simply be saying Hendon Hooker's our guy for now.
Yeah, and hopefully we never have to answer this question.
Without question.
The question is who would play Hooker or Sudfeld, because hopefully it's Jared Goff the entire year for, you know, every game. But yeah, I think you're right, Doug. If it's long-term and they have to activate Sudfeld the following week, if this coaching staff just feels more comfortable with Nate Sudfeld, they'll play Nate Sudfeld, you know?
Yeah.
But maybe Hendon Hooker has just outright won the backup job, and he is the backup no matter what. That's, I think, what everyone here prefers.
Yeah. I mean, it's great because, A, it saves a roster spot, and B, it's, hey, they've got a relatively young quarterback. He's not a kid. He's 26 years old. But they've got a relatively young quarterback that they think can win them games. And in the meantime, it did open up an extra roster spot. So a little bit surprising, but of course that was news we digested yesterday. Other things, the running back position was the four we expected. The two starters, Gibbs and Montgomery, Sione Vaki and Craig Reynolds. The wide receiver, the thing about the wide receiver spot is that they went out and the big news there is the addition of Tim Patrick. Now yesterday, the story came out that Denver was trying to trade Tim Patrick, and if they couldn't, he would end up, you know, on waivers, and then it was, you know, up to a team to select him. This is a guy who's had some good years in the league. He's 6'4". He kind of fits the model of what the Lions are looking for. And the Lions, you know, were able to get him. It's a calculated risk. This isn't going to cost them a ton of money. And he fits the mold of the bigger receiver. He's got a track record of being good. Maybe in their eyes, it was important that he checks the box of being a well-liked and respected locker room guy, which is a big deal to this organization. But he is coming off two injuries. So, look, that's a chance that they are willing to take. And the two injuries aren't minor. It was a season-ending ACL and then an Achilles. And any position that relies on speed, especially when you're above 30, man, suffering an Achilles injury can really change the way you have to play the game. And that's a kind of deal where my 51, my 51 is that this won't work, but I think it was worth the risk. And I also think it's hard for them, maybe to a fault. I don't know this yet, but with the idea that they focus so much on your character, and there's no doubt that Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes absolutely value this stuff, that it's hard for them to find a receiver or a player that checks all the boxes that they want. And so, I mean, at some point they might have to bring in a bad boy and hope that they're not bad boy, but somebody who doesn't check the character box and hope that the Lions culture shapes that player when they get here. The way it happens in places like Pittsburgh and the way it happened in places like New England under Belichick. And I think that what that is you get introduced to a locker room and whatever you were before, you realize, oh, wait a sec. Everybody here shuts up and listens and takes notes during meetings. Everyone here shows up 45 minutes early for workouts. And you don't want to see yourself as a straggler. You don't want to be a guy that goes against the grain. And so your culture reshapes a player who came from a different culture, or their normal wasn't what we do here. And thus that player basically says, I'm going to do it the way they do it here because I don't want to look bad. And Patrick, I mean, I don't think they have to strain. It's not, doesn't feel like it's a hard strain for Patrick to fit the Lions culture. Will he be able to play? No, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not worried about his mindset and upsetting the culture or, you know, even being good for the culture. I think the culture here is so strong that, you know, if you're not part of it, you'll find your way out the door. I think my biggest concern is injury. You mentioned two big injuries, Achilles, ACL. If he stays healthy, this is an easy win for the Lions. I actually like the player a lot, and I was a little surprised that Denver is willing to let him go. I know they have Mims and they drafted Troy Franklin and Sutton over there, but Tim, you know, when healthy, yeah, he's a good receiver. I always felt that, Doug, you know this, they were going to go after a bigger receiver. It wasn't everyone kept bringing up, well, how do you replace Josh Reynolds' numbers? I think Khalif Raymond can kind of do that. It's just replacing Josh Reynolds, that type of receiver, the big-bodied outside receiver. Patrick does that. He's 6'4". He's over 200-some pounds. If he can stay healthy, he doesn't have to be that burner, especially with the injuries he's had, but he's got to catch the contested balls, get the first downs, red zone targets. And so I think once he gets acclimated to the Lions, you know, playbook and things like that, I think this could be possibly a really nice sign-in pickup.
248-539-9797. We're going to run down the rest of the roster. We'll take your thoughts as well as we continue. Then we got a question for you that we'll get to today at 11:30, but you can see that question early if you want to go to @DougAndGator971 on Twitter. You can answer it, and we'll read many of your answers on the air. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.